Is guacamole a fruit salad?
What is the best milkshake for bringing boys to the yard?
Ostriches are dinosaurs.
Don't piss off old people. New game.
What do you mean it gives you Arby's mouth?
Artisanal muck duck balls.
I think they call that autofillatio.
I want to high five a shark.
Welcome to Bar Banter. Relax, have a drink with us as we debate the most controversial topics in the world today.
On today's podcast, we talk about
it would have been so good had the music not stopped.
How to improve the NFL Pro Bowl. What is the most underrated cocktail? And lastly, what are the unwritten rules of the elevator? But first, the man who joined a cult to impress a girl only to find out it was just a pyramid scheme to sell clothing for pets. Benjamin Trimmer, what are you drinking?
So I am drinking a Tom Collins tonight, little Master's Gin. I'm quite enjoying it, actually. Very refreshing. Rick, what are you drinking?
I'm enjoying a margarita tonight because it's delicious and it tingles my tongue. Drew, what are you drinking?
You can probably guess that I'm drinking tequila ginger beer, a little bit of lime in it.
What?
Just because it is my favorite go-to. Travis, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Redwood Empire's Emerald Giant Rye Whiskey because it was the first thing I grabbed off of the liquor shelf. And I do think that the Pro Bowl could be improved with alcohol.
Mm.
Yeah. that was like too normal for you.
It wasn't even a segue. It
was nope. Just
that was just a hard open.
We'll just do that again. Like
nope.
Hard open.
That's it. We're like, there. We're in it. We're in it now. Gentlemen, Pro Bowl is coming up of the NFL variety. It's not been good the last couple of years. It's they don't really want to play necessarily because they're afraid of getting injured. And I understand that. But, like, the skills competition isn't that good. And I want to know, how do we make the Pro Bowl something that would actually be enjoyable to watch?
Well, I'm gonna throw something out there real quick and just say the reason why it's hard to watch is because it's the same format, but you've got nothing riding on it. Like, as somebody for us to watch, I've got nothing invested except maybe a player that I kind of like. Maybe he'll get one or two catches in the one quarter that he plays total. Like, I need something that is going to invest me more, something that I can root for other than a player or two that I like. What that is, I don't know. And hopefully you guys do, but that's my biggest thing is I'm not invested in the Pro Bowl.
I got you, because you're right. No one's invested in the Pro Bowl, but also no one's invested in the All-Star game. In baseball, no one's invested in the All-Star game in basketball. However, those games are more appealing because the players are willing to play because, you know, the chance of injury, blah, blah, blah. So you have two options, only one of which will work for me. But I'm going to give you the fun option and the logical option. The logical option, get fucking rid of it. You can't make it better. Make it go away.
Mm-hmm.
Just do what you do in college. Say, hey, congratulations, you're a Pro Bowler or an All-American. You get that high five. You get your bonus check, whatever's in your contract. But don't make us watch it. Or the fun option, if you could actually get the NFL players to play, would be this. Everyone always hear those dumb arguments where, like, this college team could beat an NFL
yes.
team. I want to see that. The Pro Bowl is your Pro Bowl players who are obviously not going to take it seriously, but outplay a college team. That's what I want to see. So you get your, you know, maybe not necessarily like the best college team, but like, you know, your top three, four, or, you know, someone who's not playing in the championship or even after the championship.
How about the runner-up? Yeah, runner-up in the championship.
Like, because if you pick a bowl, you have to pick like the bowl game where it has enough good, like, or I'm sorry, the team that has the much talent that would make it like competitive or as close to competitive as single people would be.
Like, but Ohio State this year.
Yeah. Like, pick your, so what I was going to say was like the number five team, the team that misses the playoffs, make them play them. Like, whoever that happens to be, because people are going to opt out anyways, but you have enough talent in theory. It would never work because the same thing would, you know, no one wants injuries. But to me, that would be fun. We could settle that dumb conversation.
And I like that because every year, like after the first year, a lot of people are like, oh, this argument's put to rest. This is dumb. This is stupid. But every year, the NCAA teams improve. Like mm-hmm. this year, we have, I think it's four undefeated teams, and that's happened, but all five undefeated teams. Thank you, Ben. All of which, I think the top eight have reason to potentially be in the college football playoff. And so at some point, you're going to get that number five team that's actually pretty fucking good and then just happen to get to miss out. And so at some point, it might not be this year if we did it this year, but it might be 10 years from now when it might happen. So
yeah,
it could.
Or you could even take one of the top four who lost in the first round if that's more competitive, but that would be the fun way for me to make it better. I would like to see that matchup.
Yep. I like that. Ben, I appreciate what you said because I think that's absolutely a part of it is getting invested for a reason. Most people watch football because they have a team, they have fantasy players that they root for, so they watch additional games. Rick, you came up with a reason for people to watch because there's an argument out there that needs to be settled. I think another question that could be answered is I'm even willing to make this flag football if we really wanted to because of injury risk. But what position, what skill set is the best all around? I think you create six teams of 11 players that are Ooh. All one position. So you have a team of 11 quarterbacks, a team of 11, we'll call them skill players, so running backs, wide receivers, team of all offensive linemen, team of all defensive linemen, team of all linebackers, and a team of all secondary. And of those 11 people, maybe it's 22, I don't know, of those 11 people, someone on the offensive line team has to play quarterback. Someone has to play running back, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so it would finally determine which position reigns supreme. And you
go team kickers.
Right. I didn't put kickers on there.
I said, I want special teams. So
no kickers. No kickers, no punters. I don't think they would just kind of stand there. But I think that would be so fun to like, because no one cares AFC versus NFC.
Watch that.
Like the teams don't even watch care what conference they're in. Like they don't care which one they're drafted to. But you better damn believe every single offensive lineman, like they don't ever play each other. So there's no animosity between offensive linemen from team to team. They're all going to be like, let's fucking go. Let's go bulldoze over these safeties, these 180-pound weaklings trying to come up against my 340-pound frame. And we're just going to run the ball. We may only be able to run a 4-second 40 or a 4-5 or 5-0. But you got to be able to get to them. And so I think that would be hilarious and just amazing to watch every single year.
I'd watch that.
I would definitely watch that.
Drew, how would you improve the NFL Pro Bowl?
Okay. As the least football person out of the group.
Who wore a Broncos jersey to a Falcons game.
I want to throw some shit out there. Yep. Let's I think I was the only person in the entire stadium with a non- team playing related jersey on.
You matched the vendors.
It did, yep. Okay. Kind of following up on yours, Travis, a little bit. Make it not football. Do a charity golf event. Do have the top players in teams that are not in the Super Bowl sign up to do something like play hockey or play any other sport that has a national like league or coverage, and just for the fun of it, like not super serious, but watching football players compete in a sport that is not the one that they are disciplined in.
I would love to watch NFL players try to hit a fastball.
I would watch the shit out of that. turn into like a pros versus Joes kind of thing.
Exactly.
I wouldn't want to see golf, but basketball, baseball,
baseball, basketball, it would not be the best for me.
It wouldn't either.
But curling, like have 350 pound linebackers curl, like trying to curl. And that to me is something that I would love to see, is just for the fun of it, make it for charity. And that's why it's fun and cool, is because they're like that. That's a thing they're doing.
Here's what I think would be awesome about that. I don't think we truly appreciate the roundedness of professional athletes, like in the sense where like they would probably be fairly decent
at almost anything. Give them like, 2 weeks of practice, and honestly, they might find a sport that they're better at than.
Because the only reason why I wouldn't I don't love golf, but two, like that's almost everyone's second like off season hobby, right? So like,
because it's non injury,
right? I totally get it. Makes total sense. But that's why I wouldn't want to see it. Like I would want to see the struggle of like the baseball would be hilarious. Even if you made it a softball game, like whereas you have the drunken softball, that would be great. Yeah.
That'd be funny.
I would watch that.
Second one for me, make it sort of NFL blitzy in some way. Give them ginormous pads that are like sumo suits almost, and try and have them do it. Make the football huge. Make the helmets huge. Just make it a spectacle instead of something that they're trying to.
Big head mode, whatever that
is. Exactly. Yes. Big head mode, and make it
college mascot mode.
Have weird rules where it's almost like arena football, and just.
I'm glad you said that.
You took mine, Drew.
Ben was going to say that because arena football would be great.
As the most outsider of this, the problem with the Pro Bowl for me is they're trying to make it seem like they're still playing football.
Right.
Right.
They're not. This is a layup game.
Yeah.
Where they're just showing face to get some notice. So take that and make it as this is the break between, you know, before the Super Bowl, and we're just going to have fun with it. No, we don't want anybody to get injured. So tailor it towards that. And then my last one would be to, I know we talked about how the skills challenge isn't necessarily like riveting.
It's not.
So take it into some other arena where we do American Ninja Warrior and partner with them, and the athletes try and go through a course where, you know, injury liability is low, but we're seeing these athletes do something that's above and beyond what they normally do. And you could again pair it with something that's already on TV and being broadcast. So those would be my
would watch options. I think there was an episode of, I want to say it was like Celebrity Survivor or something, and Terrell Owens was on it, and he murdered everyone. It was just not fair watching Terrell Owens, just super professional Adonis type of a man, just run over figuratively and literally everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, I like Ninja Warriors.
Do non-football themed skill challenges like Survivor challenges or American Ninja Warrior or Wipeout or any of those. That just it's funny if they fail.
Most
it's
extreme cool if they elimination don't. Challenge.
Oh my god! If we could bring back MXC,
American Gladiators with NFL athletes. Please.
Yeah. Yes. Or Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yes.
With pro athletes. Oh my god! Could you imagine that?
They wouldn't fit.
I mean, you would have to basically blow everything up by like two or three times.
Ndamukong Suh is Olmec. Ben, nice. You said you had some ideas. How are we improving the Pro Bowl?
Yeah, so my idea was kind of a playoff of what Drew said, but this is something that we have been watching all season. We're used to the regular game that we're rooting for our team. And for me, my biggest thing is we're not rooting for our team anymore. So how do we get excited about it? I want to throw the lineup rules out the window. I want every play where the offense and defense can throw as many linemen, as many wide receivers, as many safeties, every play out there with no rules. And it may turn into a free-for-all blitz where each team is scoring 120 points, or somebody may be really good at guessing and figuring it out. But you basically got 10 to 15 seconds between each play to switch out sides, and then you may have two safeties and you're playing six wide receivers, and you have to keep changing it every time. There's no rule for what your lineup has to be. I want to see that, because every play would be different and be very exciting to watch.
That could be fun. I like that. All right, gents. Let me try to recap this the best I can. Maybe we can come up with one. Maybe we can combine a couple to come up with a new Pro Bowl. The first one, get rid of it. Second one, versus a college team. Next one, a position tournament. We could have them play non-football sports, such as basketball or baseball. Some sort of sumo blitz, big-headed rule type of game. Could be funny to watch. We could just change some of the rules so it's not just normal football. We could make it more like arena football. We could just introduce some sort of chaos there. We could have them go through a Ninja Warrior course or an American Gladiator type event. And lastly, we can change up, again, kind of going with those weird rules, but like to an extreme where you could put as many people on the line as you want. You could not know what those rule changes are going to be within 15 seconds of the play or so. So lots of different things we could be doing. I like the idea of the non-football sports / Ninja Warrior Gladiator, but on teams of positions. So it's individual from whatever you want to call it, but like your team that you're competing with is your skill position team and not your AFC, NFC.
Interesting.
Type. And then maybe throw in a flag football thing there too. So you could have a whole week of just like, hey, the offensive line is playing the quarterbacks at baseball. You know, the offensive or the defensive line is playing the safeties at curling.
Ooh, that would be fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have like an Olympics.
Yes.
Of NFL players.
Basically. That's what I'm thinking. NFL player Olympics is now what the Pro Bowl is. Is everyone good with that?
I could get down with, yeah, combining a bunch of them into just like a weekend where, you know, sure. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, each day is a different sport and each position is playing against another position in a sport they're not comfortable with, or skill challenge, or, you know, Ninja Warrior course, something like that.
Yeah. Are we good? Is that it? Is that it?
Yes, we got rid of it. Congratulations.
But no, that's not what I said. I guess we got rid of the game, but
I'm just playing.
You're just playing.
I mean, essentially, yes, we did get rid of the Pro Bowl.
Fair enough. All right. What's next on the list? I think there's a really underrated idea.
See, that was more what I was expecting for the first one.
I have a thing to do.
Quick announcement. You probably have not subscribed to this podcast. Should you do it? Yes. Are we going to make you do it? Maybe. We might know where you live. Spotify's got all sorts of analytics that we can look up. We might just come to your house and make you subscribe. I don't want to have to do it, but maybe I will. So if you could subscribe, that would be awesome. If you don't, we don't really care. Love you. Bye.
Gentlemen, question for you. What is the most underrated cocktail? Go.
I'm going to hop out there because I would like to say I'm drinking it this evening. The margarita is the most underrated cocktail. And the reason why is because it's not near the forefront when you think cocktail. You think like the frozen margarita drink. You think like the Woo Girl drink when it comes to mind. But in terms of like a cocktail, it's good. It's timeless. It may not always be number one, but it's always near the top. So to me, it's underrated in that sense.
So I appreciate that because you're right. If I'm not at a Mexican restaurant,
see, it's not coming to your mind.
Margarita does not enter my brain as a cocktail that I want to have. However, I think with the, we'll call it cocktail supremacy that it has at Mexican restaurants, might make up for it a little bit in those situations.
But is it cocktail version or is it the frozen version?
I still think that's a frozen cocktail.
Or the pre-mix version.
Ooh, don't
too,
even.
I feel like
I'll like kick most, you out of here.
Most Mexican places, they mix it up in a big jug and then pour it over ice.
All right, if you're putting it like that, all right.
Anyway, I like that answer. I'm not willing to commit and jump camps yet because do think it's got some staying power. Ben, Drew, what are your takes?
Mine's a classic cocktail, and it's one of my favorites because it's the most well-balanced to me as far as just has a little bit of everything for everyone. It's called The Last Word.
I don't know
this one. It's a gin cocktail, which I'm not known for liking gin, but that says a lot that I'm putting it out there. It's equal parts gin, lime juice, maraschino liqueur, and chartreuse, usually green chartreuse. It's a beautiful color. You shake it all up and you pour it over to a cocktail glass straight up. And just overall, super well balanced. You don't taste the gin as far as like being up in your face. Got a little bit of that lime in there for the acidity, and the chartreuse and the maraschino balance like sweetness with the like kind of herbal nature. So just overall a very well balanced cocktail that you can barely taste the alcohol in, but still has a lot of things going for it.
I can't say that I've had that one, so I'll have to check
it out. Is that underrated or unknown? Like the dark horse option.
One of the 100 classic cocktails that have been known forever.
And so, Drew, I really like that cocktail. And I'm going to go next because my backup was actually the Aviation, which is probably a more well-known play off of that, that got kind of Frankensteined a little bit, but also maybe a little bit more well-known. But for my pick, I actually also did a gin cocktail as an underrated cocktail because for me, And this may not be the same to you guys, but we all start early on in our lives loving Sprite. A lot of us really enjoy Sprite or ginger ale or something of that light, bubbly nature. So my underrated cocktail is the Tom Collins. It's simple. It's gin. It's simple syrup. It's soda water. It's lemon. I sometimes put a splash of ginger beer in just because I love ginger beer, but it is a very simple, underrated cocktail that always is very refreshing. It's what I'm drinking tonight, and it's definitely my pick. Is Tom Collins.
I like a good Tom Collins every now and again. Not a huge gin fan, but it is what it is. Rick, I went a very similar route, but instead of tequila, I went rum because I like both of them, but rum has my heart from way back when, and I'm gonna go the daiquiri.
Okay.
The daiquiri is, again, to your point about the, you know, woo girls and having it only on the beach, but having it just, you know, rum, lime, simple syrup at a bar, at a cocktail place. It's refreshing. It's yummy. It's delicious. And unlike the margarita that has its, you know, totem to stand on.
Yes.
The daiquiri does not. It's not even necessarily loved or beholden at the beach all the time. You have to find places that serve it. So I went daiquiri. We've got a margarita, we've got a daiquiri, we've got The Last Word, and we've got Tom Collins. All, I think, good picks. I don't know The Last Word, so it's hard for me to pick that because it can't be underrated if I don't know what it is.
Wait, that's the definition of underrated.
No.
This definition of dark horse.
Or it just means it's not rated. It's not underrated. Not rated. It's just not rated. It's just off the list.
I mean, if we're going with that, I would counter with the fact that the daiquiri, a true daiquiri, is the frozen mixed drink that most people think of, yes, when they go to the beach or that type of thing. Whereas a true daiquiri with rum, the maraschino, the lime, and like grapefruit shaken up and strained is closer to a last word than it is to the like beach drink that people think of.
And it might be closer to that. I don't know, but it isn't the last word. It's a daiquiri. So, and also daiquiris, the original daiquiri was just rum, lime, and simple syrup. Like it was three ingredients, very simple, very easy to make. I don't know if it was the original, but like that's the one I grew up on. Grew up on meaning like when I first started making them in bars.
I need to talk to Debbie about this.
Yeah, she's probably given me a daiquiri or four at different stages in my life. I don't think I could go margarita just because it has its place.
No, yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay,
I like that. I like that stance, and I'd be willing to go daiquiri over that. I think that's fair because it's always. I'm trying to think what separates a Tom Collins and a daiquiri to me.
Well, so I'll give you gin. I'll give you one thing, and, well,
that,
and
yeah,
but see that helps prove my point. So.
No,
a Tom Collins, no, it does. Yeah, it does. So a Tom Collins is a very refreshing light drink where you taste the gin, but it's not overbearing. It doesn't take over the drink because the simple syrup, the lemon, it changes the flavor. It gets underrated because a lot of people just don't like gin straight up. They're not willing to try this extremely refreshing drink because of the liquor that's in it. And That is why it's an underrated cocktail, because people don't like gin. They put it in a category. They put baby in a corner. They put gin in a corner when they
should. I appreciate what you tried to do there. I would like to say that I speak for the layman on this subject, being the least familiar with the alcohol industry, whereas all of you have dabbled or even more so than dabbled in it. So And because of that, I didn't even know Tom Collins had gin in it until tonight. So I appreciate that take. I don't think that's necessarily true on the whole when it comes to just being gin bashing, which don't get me wrong, I am here for, which is why I didn't have a Long Island until last year. This year. So
I'm going to put this out here and I'm going to jump ship for margarita.
Okay. Ooh, I wasn't ready for that.
Because tequila for me,
ooh,
is a harsh mistress, but it one is. That I have loved for many years. And over gin or rum, I can drink tequila in so many different formats, and a really, really well-made fresh margarita.
Real good.
Hits the spot for me better than almost any other drink.
I've convinced myself because I was on the fence about margarita, but I think I'm ready to go to margarita because of the versatility of the margarita.
Ooh,
now, I'm not saying that there aren't ways to make the daiquiri versatile,
because
there certainly are. They're just not well known, but you walk into a Mexican restaurant and there's skinny margaritas, there's spicy margaritas, there's Texas margaritas. There's just like margaritas with a shot of tequila on top. You can put what just happened? Why are my lights going out? I don't know. You guys can hear me, right?
Yeah, you're still on.
Travis is also doing his invisible moment.
Travis has also hauntings.
Wrong episode. What?
I don't even know. The weird thing is, I don't even know. Oh, is this light? Oh, I was trying to figure out which light went off, and it was my overhead camera.
So I got a question about margaritas then. So you guys are saying that the overall general opinion of margaritas is lower than what it should be. You're saying that people don't like margaritas the way they should.
I think, yeah.
That is literally what it, that's what underrated means.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
You're saying that people don't like them enough.
That is what I'm saying, yes. Because well, I'm saying if you walk into a non-Mexican restaurant, so like if we were to walk into a bar, a lounge, you know, a roofed insert setting here, you don't, because you're not in a Mexican restaurant, you don't think I want a margarita. You're trying to, like, 9 times out of 10 in that setting, you're probably thinking like, I want a bougie cocktail, or I want a drink to impress somebody with, And so you're natural, and I'm not like trying to throw shade at drinks. These are just the first one that come to mind. So like you're going old fashioned, you know, you're going maybe a whiskey neat, or, you know, it, you know, just insert these other cocktails here, which are fine and good. Just if you remove yourself from a Mexican restaurant, which is what I'm trying to, basically the point I'm trying to say, you don't like margaritas, probably not on your top five. And I want to say it should be. You don't necessarily have to get it there. Get it. It just needs to be in the rotation if you're at a cocktail kind of place.
I'll agree with Rick. I think that my stance has shifted because I think I came into this with like thinking about classic cocktails and which ones people don't order a lot. And now it's more, I view margaritas as, can I get a picture of that?
Which
generally,
and don't get me wrong, a great experience, and
absolutely. But if I'm going into a cocktail bar and they have margarita on their menu and they're so confident in that and have it on the menu, I'm gonna order a margarita, because if you think that it's better and worth my time to order it for $12 to $15 as a true cocktail, then you better have your shit together.
Right.
Because I've had so many.
And then you should judge them equally as harshly if it turns out to be a bad margarita in that sense. But, and that's that.
I'm down. I think you captured the essence of the prompt a little bit better than I did.
Your last argument there, Rick, kind of turned me a little bit. And I think you're right. I think the other establishments, I mean, for me, I drink tequila 75% of the time. It's my go-to.
Sure, yeah. It may not be underrated for me or you, but.
But I see your point. It is underrated without the traditional setting. It is underrated in every other setting.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And I was even prepared to jump camps.
Okay. That's why I had to stop you, because I couldn't.
Thank you.
Trust me, I love a good daiquiri, and I actually like all the drinks that we mentioned, but yours really did have the most, like, if I think margarita 95% of the time, I'm sitting in a bar waiting for Mexican.
Right.
Yeah. Like, and to go orders.
If we had said most, and I just want
the one from the jug
at a Mexican restaurant, it would not be the margarita.
But, well.
Is the only one. That's not true.
It'd be Modelo.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Something fighting spirit.
I love Modelo. I don't even know what our topic is. I've forgotten at this point.
They're written on the elevator or in the back or something. Oh, wait. No, they're not. Because
I hate everything about
it. That almost made it better.
What? Gentlemen.
I hate it.
I was in the elevator the other day. Some jerk did not wait. He just, the door opened to get onto the elevator. He just went straight on. Luckily, there was no one in the elevator trying to get off, but he just walked straight on. And I'm like, what an asshole. But I'm like, you know what? It's not his fault, because these rules are not written down. They are not established. And so tonight we are going to establish the unwritten rules of elevators. And I think, obviously, like I just said, the first one is just wait to get on the elevator. Make sure there's no one trying to get off. Let them out. Let them come out first and then get on. It takes an extra half a second.
Are the Travis, and I don't know if we're like gonna everybody do like their couple first and then discuss at the end, but it's the same. You and I just went to the Falcons game and we took Marta. And the one thing I hate is when people try and barge onto Marta without letting the people that need to get off go first, and they just try and rush them. Like, just 3 seconds to let these people get off the elevator or the subway or the bus or whatever it is. Let them get off first. So I agree. I personally agree that should be number one rule, order of operations. Let the people that are already on get off first if they need to.
Yep, I'm in agreement on that one as well. Probably the top rule.
I don't have too many more, but that was just the one I was passionate about. So I was just, I'm going to jump out there and get that one.
Your lead. And,
no, I agree. Done. And I think we should probably take this at like, as you, like through the process, right? Like,
yeah, I like that.
Walking
yeah.
on,
I really,
hitting
I really
the button
like that.
To exiting. Like, what is the, and so I think yeah. that was a good place to start.
The next one, then, once you're on and there's someone who is trying to run to catch the elevator, it is your job to push the close button because someone's close to getting onto the elevator and you want to hold the door open. So you push the close.
I won't.
That's terrible.
So I have different feelings about the hold open button than I do the hold the door open for you button. I have a different code. So if I'm holding just a door, you have about a 5-step rule for me if I'm going to hold the door for you. But for elevator, because there's more of a time delay, if there is, for me, if there's eye contact or some sort of communication where there's a wave or something, you should hold the door.
Mm-hmm. Communication is key, even if it's just visual. But if you don't say anything to me, I'm not going to hold the
right.
door.
Head nod, wave, lick your tongue at me, whatever it is. But
ooh, that's a spicy and elevator, right?
Depending on who you are, that may not work. But
you may get a couple extra seconds.
All right, so I like that, down, Rick. I put communication to hold door.
Yes.
Yes.
Otherwise, I'm not doing it.
That's fair.
So I have one to kind of impart maybe in the middle of that one, maybe a little bit after. If you're the closest person to the button panel, you're in charge of the elevator.
The meaning, whole thing. The whole
meaning.
Elevator.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. This is a little bit abstract. You take on the role of the operator, elevator operator, and you're the one in charge of pushing the button for people who need to go to yes. floors that are not your own.
Yeah.
So they have to, this is again, communication. If they get on and you're closest to the elevator button, they're like, I want floor 3. You press 3. But as that person right there, you're also in charge of being the one looking out for other people getting onto the elevator who might have initialized some sort of communication to be like, hey, can you hold it for 5 more seconds while I catch up and try and get on? If there's room.
Can I ask a potentially controversial question here to the group based off that? So I would agree with, if you're closest to the panel, you're in charge of the elevator. But here's my question. So Drew, you're at the panel mm-hmm. at the elevator. I come into the elevator. Whose responsibility is it, in your opinion, to either ask me what floor or I tell you what floor?
Ooh,
where's the ownership there? Because I have opinions. Travis, I saw your hand first.
Yeah, I had not thought about that.
Travis, then Ben.
It is a courtesy to ask, if you're in charge of the buttons, it is a courtesy to ask.
Okay.
You don't have to. It is just something that is potentially polite. I don't think it's an unwritten rule. I don't want to put that down, that you have to ask what floor. That is just something polite you could do. My thought is, if you can reach the buttons, you push the buttons. So like for your floor, if you're getting on, you push the button. If you get shoved to the back and you don't have a chance to push the button because it's just a crowded elevator, ask. You can't get it. You got to ask. So that's my rule, is if you reach the button, push the button. And the person at the panel does not have to ask.
So, and I'm going to expand on that a little bit. For me, it's a unwritten rule, conscious decision. So if you go into the elevator and push a button, if you choose to still stand by the buttons, you're making yourself in charge. If you move away,
agreed,
you are no longer in charge. Now, moving away can be a foot, 2 feet. It's all about, is there room for a human between you and the buttons? If there's room, you are not in charge.
It's you and one other person.
And someone's already there.
If someone's already by the buttons.
So there's room for maneuvering is essentially what I'm getting at. Like,
if they chose to stay right next to the buttons, yes, they need to ask you what floor you're going to. But if they chose to hit their button and move away, then it is not their responsibility anymore.
So you're saying if I choose to stay by the buttons, it is my responsibility to ask you floor versus you coming newcomer saying if hit a different floor.
If you're standing right by the buttons, you made the conscious decision to be in the button space. Mm-hmm. And if I have to come in and reach towards you, I don't know. That is an unwritten rule that no one's going to reach towards you. You had all this space to move. You chose not to. So yeah, you better ask me. I don't want to get in your grill and hit a button with your arm 6 inches from me. Mm-hmm. You made the choice to stand by the buttons with all that extra space.
I think to simplify it, if I walk into an elevator and there's somebody at the button panel, like within very close reach to it, my job as a new person on the elevator is to ask that person, hey, hit four for me.
Right. Yeah.
I'm good with that too.
And you can.
But the expectation is still the same.
You can skew that to how, like, if it's just me and one other person, if it's me and 10 people, whoever is closest to the panel at that point when I walk in, if it's me, I take on that role till I move back. If it's that person, but as the person coming onto the elevator, I'm asking the person closest to the buttons to say, hey, hit four for me, hit floor 10, to make it even across every scenario you can come across.
Unless they're like as close to the button panel as I am to my laptop, where there's like, they're just awkwardly facing a half wall. Yeah. I'm going to ask, cause that person's a little weird. But like most of the time people push a button, maybe take a half step back, and there's plenty enough room for me to like push the button. I'm going to push the button. But if I have to like reach into their pocket to push the button, but that doesn't happen. So I'm not worried about that situation. So I'm still standing by my, if I can push the button, I'm pushing the button. I'm asking what else to push the button.
No, that's fair. But I think that still answers the question. So I'm assuming a two-person elevator right now. And I agree with, obviously, like, if it's crowded, obviously, like, you're like, yeah, you know, teamwork makes the dream work. Somebody hits seven. But if there's a two-person elevator or two people in the elevator, one, I have two rules that I think apply here. One, if there is room, you must move away from the panel after you've made your selection. Even if that includes door holding. Like if I'm holding door, Travis crosses the plane, step back. Remove yourself from the panel. And then my option two of that, because Travis, I'm with you, like if I'm the newcomer, I don't want to talk to you in the elevator. Like I just want to hit my own button. Thank you very much.
Yep.
But it is the responsibility of the changer to initiate change. So therefore, if I am on the elevator, my floor is three, and Travis comes on and your floor is not three, it is one, like I expect myself to step away so you can hit your button if it's different. But the newcomer, it's a courtesy, but not requirement of whoever is there to ask. So okay. If you come and you want a different floor, it is up to you to either ask or push.
I'm kind of mixed on that. I'm
stretching a little bit.
Here's how I see it. There's two types of people, the people that want to be the button pusher and the people that want to step back. So you can be one or the other. If you want to be the button pusher, you assume all responsibility of being by the panel, which includes
pushing
the button when people ask you. If you want to step back, then you're totally within your rights to, I do think you have an obligation to hold the door, but then again, you can step back and be like, okay, now you get to choose whatever you want to do. Either assume the role of the panel person or be another person, like somebody who's just riding the elevator.
Right. But I guess, but my take, my submission to the unwritten rule, like I agree there are people who want to be the button pusher, is if there's space, you must step away, is my submission to the unwritten rule. Mm-hmm. Like you make your selection and you back off because we're all adults. I can hit buttons and don't force me to interact with you. That is my submission to the unwritten rules. And I'm okay. I'm okay to be outvoted on this one because that's honestly very much a me thing, but
I think that could be its own separate rule. If there's space, move away from the buttons. That's the rule. We're all adults. The second rule is if you are standing by the buttons, you have the conscious choice to either stay there or move away. But if you stay there, you're the button pusher. If you move away, you're not. So one's the button pusher. One is just being an adult and get away from the buttons at their space. I see them as two rules, basically.
It's all going to be a moot point anyway when we all of it is going to be done by the little box on the front soon enough anyway. So you pick your air floor from the outside of the elevator.
Oh my God, that'd be great.
Do you not have those elevators?
No.
Oh, you go to any like big old high rises nowadays? You go up to a little panel, you push the floor you want to go to, and the elevator comes down, it picks you up, and then you get in the elevator, you do nothing. It just takes you to your floor.
What high rises are you going to?
Actually, both offices that I've recently worked at, and actually I think my new office is that way too, and Rebecca's old office in the King and Queen building, that you swiped your card, you pushed a little button, and you just walked out of the elevator. You didn't touch any buttons inside.
I mean, look it up. Yes, I would submit a new unwritten rule that every elevator
all buttons have to be on the outside. Should.
All buttons have to be on the outside. I think people could abuse that even more so than they do the ones on the inside. Okay,
they can't, and here's why. A lot of times,
you have to swipe a card.
Well, so some of it swipe a card, and that card
90% of elevators do not have a swipe
hold
a card
on.
Ability.
I know. I'm saying the whole thing was like, this is our unwritten rules. We're gonna make it happen. And so now they all have to do that. But the way the card works is it tells the elevator what floors you have access to. So if you don't have access to the roof, you can't push the roof button. If you don't have access to the basement, it doesn't even give you the option for the basement.
Oh, yeah, but that's not.
Well, that's dumb.
That's like in a work setting. Like access to.
How well, I'm just saying invisible that I was just telling you how the card. I was just telling you how the card works.
Yeah.
The second one is you can't abuse it because you can only push one floor. When you push near your floor, you're not going to have that jerk in the elevator that just Christmas trees the whole elevator while you're on it. So there's no abuse. You're good. You just pick your floor and you go. No abuse. Yeah. Embrace the future, Drew.
No, I just think
I'm not worried about the abuse in my esoteric rules.
But he was, so I was arguing against Drew.
No, I know. I'm throwing it out there. I'm not worried about the abuse.
I will say I have one caveat for the button pushing. If you're on the elevator and a child or a family with children gets on, those children are allowed to push the button for the floor that they're going to. Because there's nothing I remember as a child better than, oh, I get to push this button and it gets to send me where we're going. I think that is their responsibility, and it teaches good human interaction to just be able to go up and push a button and be like, oh, I'm going to floor 3.
I also think it teaches good human interaction to learn you don't get what you want at a young age. You sit there in the corner and you don't worry about that button.
You're going to deny all the children the ability to push the button.
Yeah, go to Home Depot and play with the flashlights like real children. Or flashlights. The light switches.
If you're really a child, you go get the coupons from the supermarket. You go, why you wave your hand and you pull the coupons out. You just make a coupon.
You have no love for just childish.
He just said light switches. That was a great activity.
Yeah, that was my favorite part about going to Home Depot.
I went to Home Depot last week trying to look for light switches, and they didn't have any.
That was more the door. It was more the doorbells is really what I enjoyed as well.
Don't have those either, Rick. Everything is
automated. Okay. Elevator rules. Let's get back
on the aisle, and they turn on
another elevator rule. This is more of just a peeve for me. I don't know why it irks me so. I want to make it a rule, but I don't know if it'll work. Should I just wait?
No.
Okay. Dick.
Because everybody has left.
I don't like mixing pool people with not pool people in elevators.
Ooh.
Don't get your steamy, wet,
Travis,
moist
with the real stuff.
Ness. In my elevator, why are you not wearing at least sandals to get into the elevator? Like, put a shirt on. I've got my bags. I don't want your damp towel anywhere near my bags. It's a little weird. Get away from me. Take a different elevator. I'll wait for another elevator without damp, moist people on it.
I think that's asking too much from the human population.
It is, but I like.
But since it's our rules, I also do as well,
Travis. If there's a This is the hard part is I feel like there's different categories of elevators. Like there's elevators for a tall office building. There's elevators for a tall like apartment complex. There's elevators just to get from floor one to floor two at the mall.
Right.
And then also a beach condo complex. I don't necessarily think we can cover every.
Yeah. We can stay as general as possible,
elevator,
though.
Elevator. I do agree. It's not my favorite thing when I'm trying to get to my room at, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning and people are coming in with just being absolutely fucking shit.
Wait, because here's the question to that, Travis. Are you going to put your hand on someone's chest and be like, no, no.
You know what? You know what?
Are you going to be like, no. You're not allowed.
You take the next car.
Yeah. If you're already in the elevator, like I get it. If you're outside and waiting, but if you're inside, are you going to put up a goal line stance in the elevator and be like, no, 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 no. And if so, I'm for it.
Travis is still thinking.
I will lock arms with you and hold the line. But
if it were an option to have, like you have, say you have a bank of elevators, say four in a hotel, and one of them is specifically dedicated to people coming in and out of the beach or pool area, I could get down with that, but people are stupid and they're not going to respect that.
Too specific like this.
Yeah. They're not going to respect that. I don't think there's a way to enforce that.
I think let's flip it. Let's do, because this only occurs at either the beach or pool type hotel situation, or maybe a condo with a pool, but usually those people are, I can't imagine it happens as often. It might. I don't know.
Yeah, it's more of a resort-esque type setting.
Instead of having vacation. One elevator for damp people, you have one elevator for non-damp people. This is the one dry elevator only.
I want that to be the sign on the outside of it, too.
No damp people in this elevator.
So I would say, here's where I'm at, Rick. If you told me that there was a dry only elevator, I would put my hand out.
Okay.
If there was a sign that said for dry people only, I would be like, get your ass on no different. It would be a lot harder for me to do that without that false sense of authority. But with that, I will uphold the law.
Proud of you.
The only other small one I had was just like, don't force small talk.
Travis, here's where I think it kind of encapsulates that. My rule number three, I guess now, was get small.
Mm-hmm.
So just in general, make as little impression on everybody in the elevator as you can. And that includes no small talk, no bodily functions, no weird eye contact. Try and make as much room for everybody as possible while staying just discreet. And I'm not having a, you know, religious debate with somebody on the elevator type of thing.
I don't like the minimal impression in terms of conversation, because if I'm by myself, I agree. But if I'm with you guys, I'm going to talk to you guys. I'm not going to sit there in silence.
Oh, no.
Right?
No,
I'm not trying to minimize my impact. Yeah.
If you know the people and you're comfortable with them, even if you have a passing, like, hey, we've seen you before, blah, 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 like, that's fine. If it's a dead, I've never seen you before, I've never interacted with you before, all we're trying to do is both of us is trying to get from this floor to this floor, just don't.
That's why I said don't force small talk. Like that was a specific, like, you know, situation versus just minimizing impact. Cause I think that was just a little too broad.
Yeah. I think hello, good morning. Good morning, good evening. Yeah. A head nod. What floor? End of conversation.
You can acknowledge their existence as a human.
Yeah. Don't be, you know.
Yeah.
But you don't necessarily need to ask about how their family's doing.
You know what? No. For now on, my new personal rule is I'm standing facing the corner to avoid any chance of interaction or conversation.
That's part of the get small, Rick. Just don't be as small a presence as possible.
There's actually a study done. I got to find it, that if you walk onto an elevator first with other people and you face the back door real confidently, other people will face the back door, the back wall. I mean, like they'll be like, Is it? Does it open? Doesn't look like it's open, but this guy's facing that way. I might as well do it too.
It looks like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, you got to do it right though. So this is what I've got. I don't think we need all of them. I've got wait to get on. You have to communicate in order for someone to hold the door for you. Communicate could be verbal, nonverbal. The person closest to the button panel is in charge of the elevator. I said, if you can reach the button, push the button. Rick said, move away from the button once it has been pressed. Just based on our other elevator conversation, I said, let's just move all the buttons to the outside and get rid of some of those other rules. Don't mix pool people with non-pool people. Get small. I like that just in general, like kind of minimize your footprint. And then don't force small talk. Are there any of those that we want to just get rid of?
I don't think we can make the, as much as I agree, Travis, the pool people one, I don't think is an unwritten elevator.
No! Those damp people off of my not damp elevator.
Travis, you're getting into a realm I just don't think we can enforce.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're not willing to put your hand on their chest in all yep. situations, then I can't.
If you're not willing to start a war
tomorrow,
if somebody can enter an elevator or not, I don't think you can enforce that.
Fine.
But I agree with everything else.
Fair enough. Fine. Anyway, guys, I've made enough ruckus that I think the bartenders told us the time. For last call. Gentlemen, it is time for last call. Tonight we're doing something a little different. We're just gonna play a little agree disagree. I've got a list of some quote hot takes. They may not be super hot, but I just want to hear if you guys agree or disagree. We're gonna just go Drew and then Rick. I'll say the hot take, you say agree disagree, and then we'll move on to the next one and see if these are actually hot takes. Are you guys ready? Don't care. Drew, Dairy Queen is just the Walmart version of Sonic. Agree or disagree?
Disagree?
Rick?
I agree with that.
Drew, plain salted potato chips are better than all of the flavored chips.
Disagree.
Yeah, disagree.
Drew, spaghetti is a terrible pasta shape.
Disagree.
Rick?
Agree.
I know how this one's going to go. Drew, snakes are adorable. We've just been told that they're a little scary.
I disagree with the premise of the entire question.
Rick, do you disagree?
Fuck those snakes.
Skinny jeans just make everyone look like they have stick legs.
Agree.
Rick?
I'll agree with that.
Oh, okay.
I'm intrigued. And I know what I'm spending tomorrow doing.
Trying on skinny jeans?
Looking at other people with skinny jeans.
Yeah,
they do have stick legs. Drew, Peyton Manning was a better quarterback than Tom Brady.
Agree.
Rick?
Agreed.
You're agreeing?
Yes.
Drew, sports should not have video review.
Disagree.
Rick?
God, I agree with that.
You do agree?
I do.
Okay. Drew, no one actually likes going to the beach.
Disagree.
Rick?
Yeah, I disagree with that.
Okay.
I agree with it personally, but as a whole.
Yeah, it said no one.
I disagree with that.
Rick, or I'm sorry, Drew, Blink 182 is overrated.
Agree.
Yeah, I'll agree with that as well.
Okay.
We're all with these questions, and I'm here for it.
Drew, the Percy Jackson series was better than the Harry Potter series.
Disagree.
Rick, have you seen either of them?
I have not. But still, I will disagree.
Okay. And lastly, Drew, the Lego Batman movie is actually the best superhero movie of all time.
Disagree.
Rick?
Batman's not a superhero, so I disagree.
You're right.
Oh.
You're right. Oh. All right. So just some recaps.
Rick Shawn Chain.
Drew, you were pretty much disagree with all of them except for three, I think. Three. Yep, three.
Sure.
So I assume those, most of those were hot takes in a sense. Rick, you actually, I think yours were probably, I think you agreed with most of them.
Hot takes is a misnomer. Bad takes is a better, better word.
They're hot takes.
They're bad takes.
I need to defend one answer.
So give me any of them.
Of your of the ones he disagreed with?
No, of just one of mine. I don't remember one of mine.
Dairy Queen is just the Walmart version of Sonic. Let's start there.
I don't feel the need to disagree with that because it's accurate. Sonic Drew, is Target.
Drew
Dairy
did
Queen
disagree.
Is Kmart. So
I just don't view them in the same light. I honestly cannot remember the last time I went to a Dairy Queen.
Exactly.
Then ice cream.
But you got to think about it. They serve the exact same things. Ice cream, hot dog, hamburgers, French fries, chicken tenders.
But at least Sonic has kind of a history that I know of. And
it's more upscale.
And a shtick with like the rollerblades back in the day.
Sounds Target, like Target with Starbucks.
Target has a dog.
They just don't make sense to.
I understand why you disagree.
They don't make sense to compare them in my opinion.
To me, it makes perfect sense.
Okay. Okay. Rick, why is spaghetti a terrible pasta shape?
I'm not a pasta person.
Oh, spaghetti. So all pasta is a terrible pasta
Yeah. shape. Spaghetti okay. just seems lazy, if I'm being honest. I don't know. Put some effort into it.
I feel like linguine would have been the better choice for that. Right. At least pasta is round and they had to do something to round it.
Right. Right.
If this would have said angel hair, I probably would have agreed with it. I don't like angel hair. It's
too, not the same. I don't know.
Spaghetti's thicker.
I was kidding.
Oh. But I think spaghetti's fine. It's just boring. It's not terrible. It's just boring.
It's lazy, exactly.
Yeah. It's so I
would
disagree.
Agree that it's lazy, right. Especially in like everyone when they think of just like a pasta dish goes to spaghetti by default, probably. But there's so many better pastas out there. There's infinite amount of better pastas.
Right. Yeah, it's not the worst. It's not terrible. It's just like...
Yeah. It's just a meh.
Yeah. Skinny jeans just make everyone look like they have stick legs. You both agreed with that. And I also agree. I never understood skinny jeans. I said maybe earlier that I just don't like jeans in general. And skinny jeans make that even worse. So just anti-skinny jeans in general.
I agree.
Okay, cool.
I don't think we need to waste any more time on skinny jeans.
Fair. Eat some protein and bulk up.
Rick, why should sports not have instant replay video review?
Because we have better technology. Get something that we know for certain. Use the tennis replay. Use sensors in the balls so we know where there are. We don't need the caveman technology of video replay where we still can't get a good view.
Okay.
We're in 2023.
If I changed it to any instant replay,
I would say we need some sort of replay.
So some sort of technology determined to overrule a human.
Yes, some sort of technology review.
And the last one is just, is Blink-182 actually overrated?
I only remember like one of their songs, so I don't know. And I'm not 23 anymore, so I don't really jive with it. So, or 22, sorry, Taylor Swift.
I feel like Blink-182 is the band you use to create the playlist for all the other 90s bands, but you don't actually know or remember any of their songs. That's my hot take.
I like it.
Like there are other really good bands in that era. And you just put in Blink-182 radio, and that takes you to everything else that's good.
Speaking of good radio, Ray-Ban's radio, I really enjoy it, as well as Breakfast at Tiffany Radio. Both really sound stations.
Rick, you would really like Bachelor at Weekend on Spotify?
You know what? I bet I would.
One of my absolute favorite. It's basically Pitch Perfect. In a radio station,
there's a lot of Pitch Perfect on Pandora. A lot of Pitch Perfect. There's a lot of Linkin Park on Pandora Pitch Perfect Radio. It threw me off.
Weird.
I have not. I haven't actually.
You do Pitch Perfect in Pandora, you're gonna get a lot of Linkin Park.
That's weird. Anyway, guys, this has been another fantastic episode. Listeners, if you want to support the podcast, there's a link in the description. Click on it. If you want to donate to us, that'd be great. It would help us, donate to our bar tab, that thing, buy equipment. We could maybe record in person one day, or maybe we could buy alcohol. I don't know. Just money, please. Put that gift somewhere. We have the socials. We have podcasts every Wednesday. I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. But what I do know is that this is our podcast and you're just along for the ride.